Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. We are here at the SOAR Community Summit, an annual event taking place in Alexandria, Virginia, and I'm here with Myron Radio. He's a five-time author and president of the R Group, LLC, a consortium of seasoned professionals who specialize in the human dynamics of leadership and organizational change, transition, and transformation. As a business consultant with over 5,000 coaching conversations to his credit, Myron brings a practical, easy-to-apply approach to time-tested management and leadership concepts that revitalize clients and render breakthrough results. So, Myron, we can talk all about this and the results. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Will.
You've been a part of the SOAR Community Summit in the past, is that right?
Yes, sir, I have. Okay. Many years.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your professional background how it informed what you are doing today as a business consultant. You've been in the game for a little while, I assume?
Yeah, I have, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Tell us how you got here.
So I started with Mobil Oil Corporation and worked my way up. I was with the organization for 28 years. It was kind of interesting because in my career, I never had any technical expertise. I just knew how to get things done through people. And so I kept going into these assignments where things were either broken or not working well, or I would take on the kind of assignments that people said, well, it could never be done, and somehow a team of people and I found a way to get those things done.
Right.
And as I moved up through the leadership ranks, I made it to the executive level with that company. I was running the financial services function globally when I left. With Mobil, when you got to the executive ranks, you had to wear two hats. One hat was your day job, yep, and for me, financial services. But the second hat was around organizational change, reorganizations, moving into new markets, some disaster within the business that had to be resolved. And that's where I found my passion.
So, and it's blossomed into, would you call this sort of a second career for yourself?
It is a second career.
It's more than a side job, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. This is a full-time job.
And you had a career that if we asked a millennial today, they might say, what? He was there for 20-something years?
Yeah.
But that's how careers used to look and sound and be a little bit more like that. And today we see a lot of shifting.
So here's what was different. I worked in a number of different operating divisions, doing a number of different roles. All seemed like they were brand new.
Yeah.
That I could have done with other companies, and today they're often done with other companies, but I was lucky enough to be able to do those internally within one.
So let's talk about some of the main areas of frustration that you see among leaders, team members across various workplaces in your work today. Are there often similar challenges no matter what the business goals are?
Yes. And the main challenge is dealing with change and the human natural resistance to it.
Which is hard in personal life.
It's
hard anywhere.
It is. Yeah. Anywhere. You're a human being, it's going to be hard to accept change.
Right.
So that's the number one challenge that's out there. And that's the area that I specialize in, working with either individuals or teams or whole organizations to get them through that resistance.
And change doesn't necessarily have to be, or it clearly isn't. Sometimes it can be a fairly negative occurrence or something that's happening that's causing change, or sometimes it's just the way that business is. Businesses need to change, new leadership comes in, lots of things can cause change, right?
Well, it starts off with some kind of level of excitement, and excitement doesn't necessarily mean feeling good. It could be feeling bad.
Right.
About feeling good is like
things
self-imposed.
Are percolating. Right.
Yeah. So if it's self-imposed, like I want to lose weight, well, you get all charged up at first, and then you go into this, oh, shoot moment, like what is this going to take?
Yeah.
And imagine that kind of anxiety getting magnified if the change feels imposed upon you.
Terrible.
Yeah, right.
Right. So what do you do? So you go in and you talk to, so you'll work with a team or an individual, and then how do you start to identify what needs to happen in the face of change or in the face of difficulties or challenges?
Yeah, we do it through an inquiry process where we're interviewing people within the organization or the individual, getting them totally associated to the situation that they're currently in and the pain points for them not doing anything. And then, and only then, are they able to think about the solutions. And so we guide them through that process.
And as you, that must be a really interesting process as you work with different individuals, different personalities, and are there points when you see sort of a light bulb go off and people stop maybe resisting change or resisting the ability to sort of look and see, well, this is what I need to do differently?
Well, here's what's interesting, Will, and I've experienced this in my consulting, but when I was within mobile going through the first major change, I was one of those people who was absolutely dug in and resisting. Yep. As a matter of fact, when the consultants walked in, I threw them out of my office yelling and screaming and using words I never heard me say before.
Right.
And all they did was smile at me. Yeah. They smiled, and I'm wondering, why are they smiling?
These
I just
jerks.
Beat you up. and what they were smiling about is they knew that that's where I had to go first before I could figure things out and then get on board, and I became the biggest disciple of change.
And you see this when you work with people as
Absolutely.
Well. Like that's sort of the expected response.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's here, and he's going to make us have to sort of look inward a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I hate people that smile at you and nod like, oh, yeah, everything's going to be okay, and we can work through it. No, I want the resistance because I know you're resistant inside. Let's get it out.
Right. That outward smile is sort of like you're just waiting for me to, to be done here, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So can you share any specific stories about working with someone or organizations that were having a difficult time and able to turn things around? You don't have to name names or businesses, but if you can.
Okay. So I won't tell you the name of the company, but it was a Fortune 50 company, and there were two senior executives that worked for the CEO of this major division that were literally at each other's throats. One was a marketing guru, and the other was the IT, head of IT, and male and female. And they could not stand to be in the same room together. And it almost got to the point of fisticuffs, if you could imagine that.
So this is a known issue, like no one's...
Known issue.
Yeah.
So I got brought in to work with the both of them. And so, you know, we started off with a personal assessment. I wanted to know about their style and their what moves and motivates them, because those are the kind of triggers I have to use to move people forward, to influence them. And then I got them both in a room, and we start talking about the pain points. Do you guys understand what's going to happen to you if you cannot work together? Do you both understand that, including being let go from this company? And so we took it from there. We talked about the pain points. We talked about what they each bring to the table. And what was neat is that physically I could see as we were talking, they got up and they moved without anybody asking them to sitting side by side and sharing the kind of information between them. And so that started a process that we went through, and the change occurred, and started to leverage each other and their own organizations and put it back on track because they wanted to. Not because I forced them to.
And sometimes I would imagine it just has to do with shining a light on the issue and saying, hey, look, let's put this on the table. We got to talk about it.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And in that instance, it was actually, you saw the body language of two people sort of saying, hey, whether the impetus was, well, I want to keep my job, or this is all going to go downhill for other people as well. But
there
something happened.
Yep, there you go. And we start talking about what's in it for you personally. And then what's in it for the company?
Right.
And are you willing to push these things off the table, or do you want to work to get it done? But you got to tell me.
Yeah. What's the one thing you would tell someone who's relatively new as a team leader or business owner to help inspire their employees, keep things on the right track?
I would say there are two things. Number one, how can I help you? And number two, I got your back.
So important. And anyone who's worked for somebody at some point in their lives know what it's like to have leadership or a boss that does that and what it's like to not have that.
Yes. Yes.
I've heard that for every, I'm going to forget the ratio, but for every bit of constructive feedback you give, whether that's, you know, one or two, that you need to throw in something that's positive feedback. And so whether you're you don't need to necessarily keep track of all of that, but that positive feedback, that how can I help you is huge.
Yeah. So let me just share this one little piece with you. A big piece of coaching advice when I give to people who have somebody working for them who's not performing. They get together and they talk, and the very first thing is, look, this is what I appreciate or respect about you. This is what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
And here's why it's important to me personally, your boss. And for you to get to the next level of performance, here's what I now need to see.
Great language. I mean, and you've hooked them in a little bit, and you haven't just, you know, had them come in the door and start sweating bullets and yelling at somebody.
Right. But what that does is it takes what's considered negative criticism and turned it into feedback.
Right.
And so now they know if look, this person has my best interest, trying to show me how to get to the next level, I want to hear.
And a lot of leaders, I think, and you can tell me from your experience, certainly want to help their employees do better. They want to help the business grow. They want to succeed. They want to face change. They want to do all of that. Some people just, you know, they're really good at their jobs, but they don't necessarily know how to engender that sort of spirit in their employees. So
exactly.
Taking that.
They
kind
have
of
all the technical skills, right. But the higher up you go, the more the people skills matter.
Yeah. And you've certainly, it sounds like, saw that in your lifetime and your career at Mobile and a big
company.
You sure did. On your own. So you're working with people now all around the world, and you have people with you that work with businesses.
So I'm an executive coach. Yep. I work with people individually that way. I also work with teams of people that are going through corporate initiatives, and then whole organizations. How do you communicate the message in a way that's right for your people to hear it?
Are there businesses that you find across the board or certain industries that have more challenges in terms of leadership or dealing with change, or maybe face more change than other industry? I know this is sort of a curveball question.
Yeah, well, it isn't really, because here's what I find. We had a conversation out in the hall. A lot of entrepreneurs who are here, and a lot of value for that because they're growing businesses. Well, within organizations, you have that same entrepreneurial spirit, but they're called intrapreneurs. So they're still out there trying to do things that are different, be innovative, get to the next level, take their company to the next level. And it's that kind of spirit. Once people have it and they really get it, guess what? It's time for them to retire and leave.
Right.
And then so the next generation is like, they got to figure it all out from start.
Yeah.
And see, that's one of the things I'm dedicated to, is developing the next level of leaders so that they don't have to go through that trial and error, that they can learn from the examples of the past and make them into their future.
Because they're coming. They're here, or and they're around the corner. There are kids and our grandkids and all of that. So, all right. Well, really great interview. Great information.
Thank you.
And I hope our audience can take some of your tips and advice and thoughts and background and experience to heart.
Thank you very much.
Myron, can people learn more about your business or yourself?
Absolutely. My website is www.the-r-group.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, by the way.
Got it. And for the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com, and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.